Welcome back, Grace Point. Good to see y'all. Hope you had a great week or having a great week. Anybody that's not from Grace Point, welcome here to another teaching. We've been going through the book of Matthew. We've started to teach on what they call the Lord's Prayer. And last week we talked about, first of all, acknowledging God as our Father. That's the basis of our prayer. God is our Father. We're new creations, born again after His likeness and His image. And then we talked about praising Him, not just going in and asking for things, although there's nothing wrong with asking. Jesus all the time asks people, what do you want? And Jesus is the revelation of the Father. He cares about what we need. The Bible says He cares about what we need. Don't get the religious idea that it's wrong to ask for things. Jesus asked people all the time what they wanted. The Bible tells you to ask. In chapter 7, we're going to read about asking. It is not wrong to ask for things. You're encouraged to. But our relationship with God is just not asking. God wants a personal relationship, and we went into all that last week. And then we talked about having an attitude of gratitude, counting our blessings. I think I even sang a song at the end of last week. I left you off. I hope you survived. Hope you survived the song. Okay, but we're going to move on though. So we acknowledge God as our Father. We give Him glory. We thank Him for the good things. We have a grateful heart. And then we worship Him, acknowledging Him for who He is. But then Jesus goes on. He says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When I read things, people have taught on this a lot, and I muse on things, and I think about things. Some people believe this scripture when Jesus said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So they extrapolate from that just like it is in heaven, it should be on earth. And I think there's truth to that. I mean, is there love in heaven? Does God want love on earth? Is there peace in heaven? Does God want peace on earth? Is everybody healed in heaven and physically strong? Does God want people healed and physically strong on earth? Yeah, He does. So I think there's some truth to that. But on the other hand, the Bible says in Romans 8 that the creation right now is corrupt. And it's going to be corrupt. It says the children of God have experienced glorious liberty, and they've escaped the bondage of corruption, but creation itself, the earth, is groaning and wailing under the travail of the fall. So in that sense, earth will not be like heaven. God does, however, and this is what I get more out of this, He says, let your will be done on earth like it's done in heaven. Whose will is being done in heaven? It's the kingdom of God. His reign is there. God's will is always done in heaven. It's His domain. His kingdom means the reign or the dominion of the king. And the kingdom of God, which includes heaven, okay, is where God has His kingdom and His domain. His will is always done. Is God's will always done on earth? Well, if you're an extreme sovereignist, some people believe everything that happens on earth is God's will. That's impossible. If that were true, you'd never have to pray for anything, and you certainly wouldn't have to pray for His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And certainly kids that are kidnapped and sold into sex trafficking is not God's will for their life or for this earth. And there are many things. Jesus came and He healed people and he cast demons out of people. If those demons were supposed to be in those people, Jesus would not have cast them out. No, this world has been invaded by satanic forces, by demons and evil spirits. And Satan has set up a kingdom here, and he is thwarting the will of God. Now, I know ultimately God is sovereign. I know God is ultimately sovereign. But I just don't see how people can believe that everything that happens here, like God's controlling it. God has foreknowledge. He's omniscient. He knows everything that's going to happen. He has a plan. You're never going to outfox him. He is ultimately going to get his will. But in the everyday hustle and bustle of life, everything that happens isn't God's will. That father that punches his kid in the face, God's not orchestrating that. That's not like that's his will on the earth. So this prayer, I believe in the greater context of this prayer, what Jesus is saying, we should pray just like God's will is done in heaven. We should pray that his will is done just like to anything that God wants to happen on this earth should be just like God wants it. That means we got to pitch the devil out. That means we got to pray for the sick. That means we got to preach the gospel and restore families, promote love and promote the kingdom of God. So I really believe, but heaven or earth will not be totally like heaven until death, 1 Corinthians 15, until death is obliterated and until Jesus comes to this earth and he sets up his earthly kingdom. That's when everything on earth will mirror heaven in a more complete way. But in the meantime, we keep praying that things would be like God wants them to be on the earth, which would be more like heaven. Amen. So I see the one point. We do want things to be like heaven, but we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's full of corruption, that's full of death. And the Bible says that death will be here until Jesus comes back and liberates creation. But we're still to pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And folks, that's how we live our lives. And Jesus is going to talk about the most paramount thing in this world is not your life and whether you get the job and you get the promotion and your happiness. It's not all about me and it's not all about thee. The most paramount thing in this world is God's kingdom. He commissioned the church to preach the gospel of the kingdom, preach the gospel of the king, and go into all the world and make disciples and teach everyone what I've taught you. He said, he's going to say in this chapter here, in verse 33, we're going to study it more later, he's going to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put that first. So in our lives, we should be praying for God's kingdom to come on this earth. We should be praying for God's will to be done on this earth. That should be our foremost concern. Many people, many Christians put their needs and their life and their wants and desires ahead of God's kingdom. And when you do that, your life is all out of whack. You know, if you want peace in your life, you want joy in your life, you want to experience God, you want to really experience the reality of the Word, it comes through acknowledging who God really is. It comes through acknowledging that Jesus is Lord and His will is most important, that God is King, that God is Father and God's will, and we're going to put Him first, even above our own wants and desires. We're going to present our lives as a living sacrifice, and we say, Jesus, you're Lord. Whatever you want out of my life, make it so. Now, salvation and walking with God, yeah, it's a thing of grace. God's going to give us grace. He's going to forgive our sins, and He's going to give us grace, and He's going to empower us. But in our hearts, we have to bow. You know, Lord, we can't do it. We can't serve you. We are going to fail. We are powerless without you, but we bow in our hearts and say, Lord, Jesus, your Lord, be Lord of my life. Get glory in my life. And we believe the gospel. We get our sins forgiven, full of the Holy Spirit. Then we rise up trusting God that he's going to empower us and fill us to serve him. And that's what he does. He gives us grace. But we have to bow our knee and say, Jesus, your Lord. Whatever you want in my life, Lord. That's how it has to be. And we pray that prayer and we believe it. That's called priority. God is first. Some people put their kids first. That can only be a snare to you. That can only be a disappointment to you if your kids are before the Lord. That's why Jesus said you had to hate your mother and your father. You had to hate your wife, your kids. When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to Jesus, he has to be first. And if you want this word of God to work in your life, Jesus has to be first. Once Jesus is first in your life, and your life gets lined up, or your vertical relationship with God is right, it's amazing how all the horizontal relationships take care of themselves. Jesus, you're first. You're Lord. Let your kingdom come in my life and your will be done. Then everything gets set right. When we get that out of whack, things just don't seem to work. Kids will disappoint you. Your wife or your husband will frustrate you. Your parents will oppress you. You know, you'll be living for their opinions and what they want rather than God. There can only be one Lord, and that Lord is Jesus. And we put him first, and we expand his kingdom. Then Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. When I'm praying then, so I worship God, I exalt him as God, I honor him, I glorify him, I thank him. Then I pray for his kingdom, what he wants. You know, I pray for what the kingdom of God to come. Then I can turn. Here's the model of prayer. I've worshiped God. I put God first. I've prayed for his kingdom. I prayed for the needs of others. And now under that priority, now I can say, hey, God, give me my daily bread. I have needs too. And then it's not wrong to turn then say, God, here, this is what I need. Lord, thank you for meeting my need. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm trusting God. Jesus, you are Lord. I'm trusting you for my daily provision. And that's where sometimes I'll ask God for things. I say, God, I'd really like to have this. You know, Lord, I need a new zero turn. I prayed for a zero turn. I wanted a new one. I prayed for one. And I literally, like it was within a week, someone dropped one off of my driveway. They had no idea that I had even prayed for one. And literally within 1 week, someone had dropped a zero turn off in my driveway. Just amazing. So it's okay to ask for things. We're putting God first. We have our priorities right. We know we're praying in secret. We're giving in secret. We're fasting in secret. And now we can pray for our needs, and God will give them to us. Then he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Very important. You know, we know that we all stumble. None of us are perfect. Paul says in Philippians 3 that he was in process, that he had not arrived yet. We're going to make mistakes. Sometimes we do things we don't even realize they're wrong. So we said, ask God, God, forgive me. I know that I'm born again. I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I know your spirit is in me, but Lord, I know I make mistakes. I don't always do things perfect. I'm still growing. You know, I'm capable. I'm human. I have a flesh. I'm capable of making mistakes. Lord, forgive me my debts. And Lord, because I'm not perfect, and because certainly my past is so bad and I've done so many things wrong, Lord, I'm going to forgive my debtors. You've forgiven me of so much. Lord, I'm going to forgive my debtors. It is so wrong that a Christian who has been forgiven so many things in their past, so many sins, will turn around and someone will say something bad about them. Someone will gossip about them. Someone will maybe betray them and turn their back. And then you won't forgive them. You'll gossip about them, or you'll slander them, or you'll hold their sins against them. And yet your Heavenly Father forgave you of all that junk you did. And maybe stuff you're doing now that you don't even know about. The way of the kingdom is forgiveness. And it's not merited. People don't deserve it. But he's saying, you forgive people their debts towards you because God has forgiven you so many things. And this is what I've learned, Brian. This is what I've learned about that. Even if people don't ask me to be forgiven, I'm not anybody's judge. To know that someone has sinned and done wrong is not judging. If you've gone out and you've committed adultery and I know about it, for me to know that you're doing that is not judging you. Judging you is condemning you, or holding that against you, or setting you at naught. That's different biblical descriptions. To know that you did it, you know, is not judging you. It's censoriousness, thinking I'm better, holding it over your head, and condemning you. God is the only one that condemn or judge anybody. Jesus even said, I didn't come to judge you. I came to save you. There will be a day when every human being will stand before God and answer for their life. And they will not answer to me. There will be a day that I stand before God. As a Christian, I'm saved. But I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for my life. I think the chief thing is, Brad, did you fulfill your calling? Did you do what I called you to do? Did you walk in love? But I'm not going to be there judging you. I'll be there trembling myself. I'll be there like, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, as we stand. And I just pray it's going to be, I think it's going to be good. The judgment seat of Christ is going to be good, you know, if we live for God. So it's not our place to judge one another, to condemn one another, to be censorious. Yeah, if you do something wrong and I know it, I can't help but know it, but I don't have to be censorious and judgmental towards you. The Bible says I should go to you with the idea to restore you, to help you, because I care about you. It's never with a condemning attitude or a condemning heart. And so we should forgive our debtors just like we've been forgiven. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So he tells them to pray, not to be led into temptation. Let me ask you this question. Do you pray and ask God not to lead you in temptation? And if you don't, why are you surprised when you are led into temptation? Or that you don't have strength to overcome temptation? The Word says in 1 Corinthians 10 that with every temptation, God gives you a way of escape. Are you praying? Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Lord, deliver me from evil. He's already delivered you from evil in Christ. But what you're praying is you're praying for His will in your life. And you're praying, Lord, don't lead me down paths. You know, Lord, lead me here. In other words, you're acknowledging your need of prayer. You're acknowledging, God, I need you to lead me. Don't lead me in paths of wickedness. God, protect me and lead me on right paths. You say, well, we don't need to do that. Then why did Jesus need to do it? Why did Jesus get up a great while before day and seek His Father and ask God to lead Him? And He was listening for words from heaven. He goes, I only do what I hear my Father saying, and I only do what I see my Father doing. Why was Jesus always sneaking off in the early morning hours and talking to His Father and praying? Hebrews 5 says Jesus was heard because He feared. And He cried out with loud cryings and tears. Some people don't believe you should pray loud. It says Jesus prayed with loud cryings and tears to Him that could save Him. In other words, He was dependent on the Father. You know, when Jesus came to earth, He laid down certain rights and privileges. Oh, I can't teach it right now. He became dependent on God. He says, I can do nothing without my Father. He was dependent. So He cried out with loud cryings and tears. What? For grace. For grace, for God to come and to strengthen Him and help Him. You say, well, no, Jesus didn't need strengthened. Well, I beg to differ. When He was praying in the garden, He was praying. He had drops of blood coming off of His brow. And it says the angels came. And what did those angels do? They strengthened Him. I'm going to end this here. See, everything, folks, and that's some of our problem, is we're not praying because we don't own our dependency on God. That's pride. That's pride for me. I know sometimes I'm very guilty of this. I think I'm okay. I think I can do it. So I go through long periods of time where I don't pray like I should. And sooner or later, it catches up to you. Jesus had to pray. Angels came and strengthened Him. Bible says, you have not because you ask not. What if in your life you were not experiencing God's presence because you don't shut your door and seek God? And that's why, that's the only reason why you're not experiencing His presence. What if you don't have what you need because you're not asking? You're saying, well, I'm not going to bother God with my little problems. You have not because you ask not. Right now, the Lord brings it to my mind. There's a woman that you want a husband, you want a life mate, and you may even be looking for one, but you don't ask God for one. And that's the reason you keep getting the wrong guys, because you're not asking God, you're going out looking for one, and you keep getting the wrong one. Ask God for what you need. He cares about you. He cares about your husband. He cares about who you marry. Your Father in heaven loves you, and He wants to do good things for you. You have not because you ask not. You're not owning your dependency upon God like Jesus did. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, he said that I know that God will answer me, and I will have what I want through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Get this. This shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Through your prayer. He acknowledged his need of prayer. Paul would pray, he says, Lord, grant unto me boldness. You say, why ain't I bold? Why don't I? Have you ever prayed for boldness? And meant it. God, make me bold so I can be a witness. It says, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Do you pray for your pastor? I didn't like Brad's sermon. Seems like he's feeble. He's not really preaching with power. Did you pray for me? Are you asking God to bless me and make me bold and help me? Well, then why would you complain? I'm going to end here, Brian. I know we're past our time. We're at probably 22 minutes. Samuel said about Saul, he says, God forbid that I should sin by ceasing to pray for you. God forbid that I should sin by ceasing to pray for you. If we believe in prayer, if we believe that God hears us, wouldn't we ask God to lead us not into temptation? Wouldn't we go to God and get the things that we need from God? Doesn't the Bible say in Hebrews that we should be coming to the throne of grace to get grace? It's not like it's all automatic. It wasn't automatic for Jesus. He had to walk in the Spirit. He had to walk in fellowship with God. He prayed with strong cryings and tears. And he was heard because he feared. And you'll be heard too when you go in your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Thank you.